Welcome back, fanboys and fangirls and casuals of all ages. This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Cracking.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on here.
Dang, dude. And this is Dennis.
I think that's that mythical second puberty that everybody's been talking about lately. It's a millennial thing.
It's all the testosterone that he's taking, dude.
It's just way too much.
It's for doubled up. The testosterone is doubled back. So
it's going too far now. It's going too far on the other side now.
So I hope everybody's doing well out there in podcast land. Thank you very much again for listening to our labor of love. Well, not really love, but you know, we labor through it. So,
and you're belaboring everybody else with this intro.
Yes.
So speaking of belaboring, wait, that's not a segue at all. All right, so today we wanted to talk about
Lewis's last time.
So literally, the only one that should do the intros is Dennis.
At least from now. Lesson learned.
The last 2 weeks, it's gone really bad.
That's almost a minute and a half of nothingness.
Of Seinfeld, just nothing. All right, well, you know, we as fanboys and casuals, we like to debate. You know, we debate at night, we debate in the daytime. Sometimes we debate by ourselves.
Yes. Wait, what? That's sad debate.
Oh, okay.
That's very sad debating at that point.
So,
surprisingly, I started debating when I was in high school.
Wow, in high school?
Yeah.
That's a long time to start debating, man.
Well, you don't really get, you know, you don't learn your methods until later.
Yeah.
I was like 27 when I figured out the perfect technique.
Of debating, exactly.
Just checking.
Always have to get in my way.
So, on the topic of debates, so that's actually one of the, I feel that as fanboys and as nerds and geeks and stuff, we like arguing stuff online or in person. You know, you just start talking really high when you start debating about things. So, we wanted to dedicate an episode to this wonderful conversation. So we're going to put up two companies, two properties, and the three of us are going to talk about which one we like best, which one we like more, why one sucks, because that's just the nature of being a geek. So if everybody's ready, we're good. We're going to start off with a hot topic of DC Comics versus Marvel Comics.
Ooh, very relevant.
You know, it's really relevant. Now, for the three of us fanboys, I feel like all three of us have kind of seen every incarnation of the DC properties and the Marvel properties. We've seen the movies. We've seen the cartoons. We've read the comic books. We've played the video games. So I think, you know, this is a pretty encompassing topic to start off in. So, you know what, Dennis, why don't you start us off? So DC versus Marvel, whose court are you on?
Wow. So just to be clear, we're not just talking about the actual comic books. We're the trying companies. To do everything.
You know, the thing is, I think comic book culture has become so mainstream now that we got to hit all of them. Like, we got to see where there's wins, where there are losses. So yeah, please.
For me, you know, if I have to choose between DC and Marvel, I hate to say it, but I'm leaning more towards Marvel.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. You know me, and for those people who've been on this podcast, you know my utter love for, The Flash, one of the cornerstones of DC Comics.
Right.
And looking back, you know, just right now, just the influence of Marvel, especially during the 90s, where we had the X-Men being like the ultimate team. To the point where, you know, I'm pretty sure Lewis, you remember this, where I, you know, not just the comic books, I was also collecting the trading cards.
Right.
Sadly, I still, I think I still have it in my comic book collection where it was like the ladies of the X-Men. Oh, I didn't have that. Or everybody, you know.
Is that the one in the bikinis?
Yes, everybody was bikinis. You know, and like.
Even the Punisher.
Yeah, for some reason. For some reason. He's wearing a Speedo.
I mean, and again, fan service for that. You know, so it just over the years, and you know, just recently, admittedly, I've been starting, like, the last 5 years have been kind of lapsed with my comic books, but I've been you know, going back to it. And you know, if we look at the past, the characters from the past, even today, and then of course you add in the movies,
right?
You know, it just seems like Marvel is its peak right now.
Right, yeah. The quality is just they're knocking it out of the park. You know, I'd agree to a point, but let's just premise it off. I'll start it off. I'm going to go ahead and actually say I'm team DC right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier.
It's Superman love, bro.
I'm such a fanboy. It's not even fair. So I think, like I mentioned earlier, comic book culture has permeated practically like every aspect of pop culture, I guess. That's the shorthand for these things. Because, yeah, you can find superhero comic books. Obviously, that's where you start off with. But then, you know, on the CW, they have a whole block of just shows for comic book characters. Video games, when they have a new release for, you know, this new fighting game or the new Arkham Asylum game, it's an event. You know, everybody got to stop and pick up the new Arkham game. And not to mention the movies, obviously. Nowadays, I guess, you know, a lot of movies don't make a lot of money, but the biggest blockbusters are going to be your superhero movies. So on that note, like, it's kind of funny to me because I feel like DC is, for me, it's kind of like coming home again. And then Marvel was that edgy emo phase that I had in high school. But and now that, you know, spoilers from episode 2, now that I'm a dad, I like going back to DC because they're the, you know, they're kind of like the archetypes, and I mean, in their best versions and not all versions, they represent hope and the best in people. And nothing against the Marvel characters, but you know, a lot of them are flawed, and you know, that I guess that's their selling point, is that none of these heroes are perfect. And you know, that's how readers or consumers can kind of empathize with these guys. And for me, for DC, I love that they're the basically the pantheon of this new superheroes, and you know, they're the mythology of this day and age. So,
but I agree. I see where you're coming from. Yeah. Again, especially with my love for the Flash. You know, he's there, and you know, like I think the best, you know, comic book TV show right now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But
sorry, Shield.
You take out, you put in the Flash. You put in. You know, the main JLA, who else is there? You know, and I think for me, that's what makes Marvel.
Okay, yeah.
You know, kind of brings Marvel above the rest. Because aside from, you know, the fact that you can get somebody like an Iron Man and make it, you know, before the movies, Iron Man, yes, he was a popular character.
Right.
But he was, you know, he wouldn't be considered an A-list character.
No.
And all of a sudden, thanks to, you know...
It's a Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly. Yeah.
And a great movie to do.
And then all of a sudden now, you've been able to make Ant-Man. You've been able to make...
Oh, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. You've been able to make Doctor Strange relevant. And I think, at least for me, that's what makes Marvel more interesting for me right now.
Okay, I like that. Because so you're basically using the... I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's like the old... DC is like the Miami Heat, where they got their heavy on the top and they don't have
a bench.
They don't have a bench at all. Marvel's got a great, you know, yeah, they got a great library of characters. So, Harold, you haven't said much. What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to picture the kind of things that I can balance off each other in my head. Always grew up as a Marvel fan. Like, the first comics that my parents had got me were Avengers comics.
Okay.
And actually, West Coast Avengers comics.
Damn!
Right? It had to be a specific type. But throughout the years, I would always end up comparing the two companies every time I would end up purchasing things. So first, for me, the trading cards, by far, the DC ones were terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was, like you said, the only cards worth collecting were the JLA ones, or just even any kind of Justice League characters, and that was it. And I knew nothing outside of those guys. And with the Marvel character, or the Marvel comic card, trading cards, I got every series. I think there was like like literally every series of the Marvel cards and the X-Men cards, jetting on holograms and everything. But just in general, I would always, and even going now, like I prefer Marvel movies over DC. So I'm always, not always, but for the longest time, I've been Team Marvel.
Last point, at least for me, I mean, again, I know I'm harping on Marvel right now. but I mean, hell, you know, since we're using every single medium, think about the last, think about a comic, like an action figure. What would you rather have, a DC action figure or a Marvel action figure? I mean, look around you right now. For those people who don't know, our studio right now is filled with comic book characters, and on the left, he has a throne of all Marvel characters. Yeah, I don't even see anything DC here.
There's that poster.
Right here, there's one section right here.
Okay.
So 1/16th of my man cave is Batman.
I think we rest on that point. Yeah, right. I think we there rest on go. That point.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. So, okay. So, on the next topic, let's jump around. Because you know what? Here, I want to talk about one that we haven't really spoken about in the podcast at all. But the three of us are pretty big gamers. Some more dedicated than the rest of us, Harold. So, you know, let's talk about SNES or the Sega Genesis. Mm. All right, so we're not going to be, you know, we're not filthy millennials saying Xbox One versus PlayStation 4. Anybody can debate that. But let's talk about that.
Really?
Well, yeah. You two can debate. Nice. Actually, right. Sorry.
That means you would have to own those.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Well, Dennis owns one. You own the other.
Harold has neither.
I own the Super Nintendo Classic.
Filthy Casual.
And the NES Classic.
He does have the rest.
That's going to be our new gimmick. We just call it. Never mind.
So, yeah, let's put it out there. Growing up, I think both SNES and the Sega Genesis were pretty, they had huge impact on a lot of our childhood. So which ones did you guys enjoy most? What do you guys like better? Which one did you had to have?
Like for me, the Genesis came out first, and my cousins, they used to get everything but they would always get things as soon as they were brand new. So I was playing Madden on Sega Genesis and Mickey's Castle of Illusion, if I believe it's called, and Moonwalker. And those three games I played for like months upon end, saying there's never going to be anything better than those three games. And then the Super Nintendo came out and Super Mario World came out, and that game destroyed everything that the Genesis had ever created. And then at the time, they started doing the whole thing where they would post or create games for both systems and you'd be able to compare them. And for those, like Super Street Fighter, I think it's Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. They would put it on both systems and Mortal Kombat, but that's kind of different.
Mortal Kombat,
the only win for Mortal Kombat on Genesis was because it had the blood.
Exactly.
Which was Abacab, if you guys don't remember what that was. But even then, the graphics on the Super Nintendo compared to the Sega Genesis version of Mortal Kombat was way better. And that one felt more like playing in the arcade than anything else. And from then on, it's always been about, like right now, like I was telling these guys, I got the Super Nintendo Classic at home. It's got 21 games. Five of those games are probably some of my favorite games ever. Final Fantasy III is, if not in my top five, it's probably top two games for me of all time. Because I can play that game forever in a day. And then after that day is over, I would start playing it all over.
Nice.
For me, I got the SNES first. I know it sounds bad, but I saved up, you know, and I got it, and I loved playing it, but there was something, maybe it's because I didn't own it, but there was something about the Genesis that was just so alluring to me.
Absolutely.
I remember watching, might have been your system, Harold. I remember somebody showed me Castle of Illusion. Castle of Illusion blew my mind. I was oh my god, so many layers, you know, the background was moving. I was like, what kind of witchcraft was this? You know, I remember playing, you know, Aladdin on the Sega Genesis.
Admittedly, Aladdin on Sega Genesis is better than the Super Nintendo.
Again,
the Disney games on
Genesis. I think there are a lot of really good games on the Sega Genesis, and the graphics, you know, cutting edge at that point.
Right.
But Harold kind of touched upon my point. The reason why it's always going to be Super Nintendo for me is Squaresoft.
Squaresoft.
Squaresoft. You know, you have all those amazing games, amazing RPGs, and at least at that point for me, that was my life. You know, I was that guy that would spend, you know, hours on end trying to level up my character, you know, at least 3 or 4 levels or even more, higher than it should be before I go on to the next one, so the bosses are gonna, like, really easy for me. You know, kind of cheating, but as Harold said, it was so amazing. You know, Final Fantasy III, I'm pretty sure we can do a whole episode about it, but there were so many moments there, you know, that, I mean, even the very first part of it where the main character's walking around in, you know,
the mech suits.
The mech suits. I was like, oh my God. And it just kept on going, you know. So, just for Squaresoft, my vote would be SNES.
Real quick, I'd like to thank Dennis for letting me borrow Chrono Trigger and Secret of Mana. And I'm still mad that Chrono Trigger didn't make the SNES classic.
Which, by the way, would have just
depleted, you know.
Dennis would have given up a kidney to get one of those then, if that was the case, I guess. So, excuse me, but my filthy casual is showing. So these two guys have been fawning over their RPGs. I never had the patience for it. I was more of a button-mashing, left-to-right, side-scroller kind of guy. So, actually, you know, I'm on the same page, too. I love the SNES. But something about growing up in the Philippines where I had the Super Famicom. That's what they called it over there. And, you know, you didn't have Mega Man, you had Rockman. But I think there was something oddly alluring about the Sega Genesis, because I don't know what it was, for some distribution rights or something, some other problem like that. There was like one Sega Genesis for every 10 SNESs out in the Philippines. So I rarely got to see it. So I thought I wanted it. I needed to get this one. So as much as I like the SNES, you know, the Sega Genesis had a weird allure to me. And I think one of the first games that I played on a Genesis that I thought was so mind-blowing, and this is going to sound super lame, was Echo the Dolphin.
Hey. Underrated classic. Okay, dude, Echo the Dolphin.
Hey, dude, I am there. Okay, I thought I was just by myself.
Wait, is it Echo or Eco?
I thought it was just Echo.
I thought it was like ecology type thing.
But there's two C's.
No. Okay. But the guy who sold it to me in the Philippines was like, here's Echo.
And again, my question.
No, you can never tell.
If it was about, because I could see the dolphin echolocation, but there should have been an egg somewhere there, you know. That's just nitpicking, but go ahead, sorry.
Yeah.
So, I love the SNES, I love the Genesis. You know what, my vote, it's going to have to go with the Nintendo again, though. So, good try, Genesis. I think that was the last bastion of the Sega system. But it was a legit fight, and I liked it a lot. So that's two great battles that we talked about. So, let's go with one more quick movie battle, a little debate with some of the classics, at least for this group. So, Rocky III versus, wait for it, Rocky IV.
Oh.
All right.
Wait.
Hold on. Cue the montage. I'm sorry.
We don't have licensing.
Right?
There's no video to this either.
Just
sorry.
As a backstory, for those people who might not know us, this is a very touchy subject. To the point where, while getting ready for my wedding,
yes,
while getting, like, the people were telling us that we had to go,
the photographers waiting,
the makeup artist, yes, we had a makeup artist, was trying to touch, and the whole time I was like, Rocky's showing. We need to see.
I think one of the photos is us looking at the screen for Rocky IV. By the way.
So yeah, we were trying to get ready in the hotel room. And Rocky IV magically shows up on the screen and everything stopped.
Okay.
I think the bridesmaids and the wives were pretty upset. But, you know.
Well worth it.
Totally worth it.
I told the photographer we didn't want to leave the hotel room until Hearts on Fire played. We needed that montage.
So, and this is going to be the interesting part. It seems like we're kind of on the same page. But Louis, let's start with you.
Okay. So I think, all right. For the C movie enthusiasts, or for those who deny that you know, anything past Rocky II was any good, a lot of the you know, the cliched funny jokes and the memes come from Rocky IV and Ivan Drago. But I think Rocky III has a lot of underrated classic moments in it. I mean, this is the movie with freaking Mr. T and Hulk Hogan as Thunderlip. You don't get any more 80s than that, or like absurd than that. Like, that is peak. Like, if you were to smash everything good about the 80s, it's right there. It's like Mr. T and Hulk Hogan versus Sylvester Stallone. It was magical. So I liked it a lot. So, you know what? But I have to have a moment. I'll have to get back to everybody in this form of my answer. So please, Dennis, take it away.
Wow.
It's
that passion.
Yeah, it is. There's a montage going in my head right now. There's a training montage.
Now, Rocky IV, Rocky III, they're both really close to my heart. And one of those things where if either of those movies showing, I have to watch it.
Right.
Yeah, it has for sure. Like, I stop what I'm doing. I tell my daughter to be quiet. And or at least, like, get her to me and go, this is how you should fight. You know? But I don't know. It's, you know, it's a debate for me. Rocky III, the only thing I don't like about it, and there's not a lot of bad things in it. The fight just seems so short for me.
It's incredibly short.
Everything, like that's what was so great about the Rocky movies. It's the struggle, him, you know, getting knocked down, you know, and then getting back up again, showing it. And this was Rocky all of a sudden outthinking the bad guy.
Right.
Which
he never does.
Exactly. It's like, really?
The first two movies he was just like, oh, punch until you fall down.
Yeah.
You know, he blocked the punches with his face.
So if you go, you know, just for that, my vote would be Rocky III, but we go to the montage.
Whoa.
We go to a montage. Hearts on fire. You know, him, you know, doing that, the sit-up, like, from the barn.
Oh, dude.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
And then he's like, carrying the wheelbarrow and with his wife and, you know, his trainers there. Which, by the way, I'm trying to figure out if it really, is that really that hard? If they're, like, all the way back? You know, compared to Drago's, you know,
pushing it forward,
pushing it, you know, and him having to run faster than the car on ice. You right. know? Rocky IV for me, hands down.
I'm gonna be honest. This is super tough, but
Harold is really emotional right now.
Yeah, like there's tears coming on my. United States flag shorts. But when I was, as a child, the first Rocky movie I ever saw was Rocky III. And it was because of Mr. T. I was going to call him B.A. Baracus. But Mr. T, and I thought he was such an engaging character. And I just liked the story of Rocky III a little bit better just because of the whole... Rocky starts out a little too cocky and then having to get knocked down. And I understand like where you're coming from where you're saying that the fight's too short, but literally he fights him twice, gets destroyed the first time, doesn't learn anything from the fact when he gets destroyed. Because when he comes back in the second fight, it's like, yeah, what didn't work the first time? Oh, me running into his fist the whole time. Because he gets knocked down in the second round of that fight and you can't imagine that he's ever going to get back up. But, I mean, coming back and having... to knock him out in three rounds, and then when he does the jump in the air and lands awkwardly on his knees, I've tried to recreate that moment many times in my life. And then the ending where they're punching themselves at the same time, and the thing that really will always, besides the fact that Hulk Hogan is there,
right?
The thing that will always make, for me, Rocky III beat Rocky IV is Eye of the Tiger.
Ooh, which, you're right.
Hearts on Fire, great song, but you can't play it. I mean, besides... You're the best around. It's the best montage song for any movie ever.
Ever. I think
you're right.
Pretty much ever. You're right.
So you're the best.
Song-wise, I agree with you. What was in the montage itself?
No, the montage of Eye of the Tiger is just like, it just goes Rocky III and Rocky knocking people out in one punch.
Yeah.
But the montage, Hearts on Fire, way better.
Yeah. Song. I agree with you.
All right. So, you know what? Great topic so far. Good points to everybody. But before we get too far, we do want to thank some of our new sponsors. So right now we're going to queue up some audio that our sponsors have brought in. So thank you very much. Sitting around too much. Is your back feeling Thor? Then use Asgard wipes. You'll thank Odin you did. Thank you very much, Asgard Wipes.
Thank you, Asgard Wipes.
Somebody should really edit those commercials before we play those, guys.
What was that? Oh, so professional. So
somebody from I Love Lucy came on again.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to continue the debates. We got a few more topics real quick. Actually, so we brought up Thunderlip Hulk Hogan in Rocky III earlier. So another thing that the three of us are fanboys of is WWF through WWE, as it's known today. So we're going to talk about two of the best
icons. Wait, you like pandas?
Yes. I'm the wildlife needs protecting, man.
With steel chairs.
Yes. And foreign objects. So I wanted to ask you guys, who do you think is the biggest, best, you know, representative of what it is from WWE, WWF, Stone Cold Steve Austin or Hulk Hogan?
Man. I thought the Rocky 3, Rocky 4 was pretty difficult.
This okay. hurts me. So, we're going to exclude the whole Hulk Hogan racist thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go pre-2015. Okay. When those
men, yeah. Why? Because, are we going WWF Hulk Hogan?
Okay.
And then, like, pre-Hollywood?
Oh, yeah.
So we're not going to include WCW?
Yeah.
Hollywood Hogan?
Oh, okay, let's do their whole career then.
Okay, yeah, I think we have to do our whole
impact in general.
No, let's check. I think I like that. With WWF, like the pure Hogan before.
Okay.
Before I like that one. Because before it became if you think Hogan. About it, during that time, he Hulk Hogan represented WWF.
Yeah, the whole company. Yeah.
And then during the Attitude Era,
right.
It was Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. So that's two eras. I like that.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, because you know what? You never know. Too Steve Austin could come up with a racist tape back in like 2020. So you know,
wouldn't surprise me because he does live in Texas by himself.
Right. So all right. Stone Cold versus Hulk Hogan. You know, I'm going to have to play the, you know.
Oh, don't tell me you're going to go in between.
I don't know. I can't.
The tweener?
I think I'm going to have to go heel and go Hulk Hogan on this one. Ooh, okay. I just think it's one of those things that without Hogan, there would be no Steve Austin.
Okay.
I think in just the... If Hulk Hogan didn't have the impact, the cultural, pop culture influence that he had, as cheesy as it is, like if you look back at it now, it's so cringeworthy, and you look at it and say, oh my gosh, why was I cheering for this jingoist guy beating up literally every foreigner? And you see, you know.
Which, by the way, let me interrupt you. I'm impressed because Lewis was not looking at his phone for a word, and jingoist came out of it. Good on you.
Thank you. I'm very passionate about my, All American Hulk Hogan. So I gotta be a big fan. I gotta say that he was a big influence on the company and making it what it is, and just in general, like. When you think about, even today, you know, this day and age, when you ask grandma or you ask any guy on the street, what do you think of wrestling, you're thinking tights and, 6'6" muscle man who can power lift you off the ground without effort. You don't think of, leather chaps and, Stone Cold Stunners per se. But, so I'm going to go with Hulk Hogan there, guys.
I am a huge Stone Cold Steve Austin fan. I think he's the only wrestler that I've actually bought a shirt for. And I still own that.
Yeah, you rock that shirt. That
is so faded.
In college, Dennis rocked that shirt on the daily.
It used to be black. Now it's like
grayish,
whitish, grayish. You know.
I thought that was going to be your like family heirloom, dude.
It will be, to be honest with you. But... surprisingly, I'm gonna side with Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
And I think the biggest reason is if you think about moments, if you think about his influence in pop culture, I think Hulk Hogan is the ultimate representative of wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, just certain things, you know, I was watching Teen Titans Go, and they did this one bit where Cyborg was down on the floor. He was down for the count. And for some reason, the bad guy raises his hand, and out of nowhere, Cyborg starts, like, you know, raising his fist. And he's like shaking, and then he gets punched, and he does the finger wag, no, and then, you know, he knocks him down, and all of a sudden, guess what? It's the leg drop. You know, just that one sequence, every single person that has ever, I mean, at least our age, I think, yeah. And I'm sure even people who are younger than us, everybody knows that whole routine.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that progression, and, you know, him dying, he's like, yeah. Oh my God, is he dead? To all of a sudden, he's invincible.
Yeah.
Three punches, a boot, and a leg drop.
And a leg, yeah. and a body slam. But, and you know, you're right, dude. If you have such an impact that you can create a word, like, because that's basically, in shorthand, he's hulking up.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. So you can use that in basketball, in football. It's like, oh, that dude's hulking up. He's going to go back.
And you know what just happened.
Yes, exactly.
You
know? He's like,
oh. You don't need to have anyone else explain the fact that he's hulking up.
Right, exactly. It captures everything. There's no such thing as stone colding up, you know?
Nah.
That's downing beers.
Okay.
I don't know. Stunning somebody.
Oh, no. Stun somebody.
Stun somebody. You kind of
totally works. Yeah. The thing that I'm debating in my head and now vocally is Hogan is my childhood. Stone Cold Steve Austin was my puberty.
Because we all know.
How that ended up being terrible. I'm sorry. And
bald.
Like, I got into wrestling because my cousin was showing me these poses for how Hulk Hogan poses after every fight.
Right.
After every, like, match. And I was like, well, that seems weird. And then he showed me the cartoon. And so I got into wrestling through Hulk Hogan. And I never would have been a fan if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan. But I stopped being a fan in probably 1995. Because he was gone. He wasn't wrestling. Or if he was wrestling for WCW. And I only watched WCW for Ric Flair. And I didn't like him, you know, invading Ric Flair's territory. Because that's WCW's Ric Flair. All of a sudden, you see this guy come up in the WWE, or WWF at the time. And I'm like, I recognize him as Stunning Steve Austin, but he's not the same guy. He's the ringmaster. And he has the $1 million belt. And as soon as he came out, and I was pointing to my buddy, I was like, that's Stunning Steve Austin from WCW. And he's like, oh, I don't know who that is. And I go, he does the stun gun. And then I proceeded to stun gun my buddy on a table, which is always a great idea. But... I mean, I was there for his debut in the WWF, I guess, and watching his character progress and seeing him become my favorite character for a long time, where he never really had an established character. He was just Stone Cold Steve Austin. No matter what, anytime he would stun somebody, and it would always be hilarious. So that whole Attitude Era, where we were in, like, high school, going through college, where... Admittedly, when I was younger, nobody liked wrestling. Like, nobody, none of my, only a couple of my friends wanted to talk about wrestling. But in high school and in college, all of a sudden, you know, people were starting to talk about DX, and they were talking about Stone Cold, and they were talking about NWO. And I didn't feel like such an outsider anymore. Outsider.
Yeah.
I mean, people were able to relate to me only just for those specific things, but I would always say that the whole character that everybody revolved around during that year or during that time was Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, big Austin fan. Now that I'm a little bit older and I appreciate actual matches, I cannot stand to watch Hulk Hogan matches because they are so boring.
They're so dry. But that's true.
It's Stone Cold Steve Austin matches, sometimes he busts out submissions, sometimes he, you know, brawls, but there was always something a little bit different and something always fun, especially that match with Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13. I watch that thing at least once a year.
But imagine this, Stone Cold Steve Austin lying on the floor. All of a sudden, the referee raises his hand and he starts shaking his fist. You know for a fact that you just, like, faint.
Because, did you see, like, so, depending on the timetable here, Ric Flair posted a tweet where he put his Mount Rushmore of wrestlers on it. And the Mount Rushmore he put was himself, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, and The Rock. which pretty valid. I mean, let's be honest, there is no Rock without Austin, because that was the biggest and best rivalry that they've ever had. But the three debates was, popularity-wise, was always going to be Hogan and Austin. Ric Flair, probably the best wrestler out of, obviously the best wrestler out of the four of those. Right. But, I mean, popularity-wise, as a wrestler, not talking about The Rock, because, you know, at the point now, he transcends wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, some people don't even know that he wrestled. But wrestling-wise, that Mount Rushmore, you know, Austin, Hogan, you're like, which of these people brought more people to wrestling? And it's always going to be a fun debate.
I agree. All right. That's awesome, dude. All right. So, looking at my list of things that we're going to debate on. So, I think one of the last ones that we should do, just to wrap it up, and, you know, let's end this conversation with some violence. Let's go Star Wars versus Star Trek.
Really? We're going to go with this.
Let's do this.
With time wrapping up. Yes. With time wrapping up, we're going to go with this. Because this might as well be an episode.
It can be.
You're right. I think, should we even debate this, Anna? Because you're right. I think this could take up a whole 30 minutes.
I think we end this as the teaser.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think stay tuned. So we'll wrap it up here. And, you know, I want to say thank you again for all of our listeners out there. I want to say thank you for liking us and following us on Facebook. Keep an eye. Every Monday, we're going to be publishing these podcasts. Not to mention, throughout the week, you know, we're going to be posting a lot of original stuff, a lot of things that we like out there.
Well, I don't know about original
stuff.
We'll
be posting stuff. We'll be posting stuff. So we'll be, you know, stuff that we think that we're going to engage our listeners and our followers for some fun and all that good stuff. So
something that you might find interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. So any last words, you guys, before we wrap it up?
I think for me, you know, this has really been a fun experience, but I think one of the cooler parts of it is when we get your feedback. So, you know, if you're ever on Facebook and you see us post something, if you think it's funny, you know, comment on it. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
We also like to hear your opinions on different things, like, we always ask for suggestions. It's not like we're running out of ideas, but at the same time, we'd like to hear from our fans, because we actually do have fans at the moment.
I guess so.
So I mean, more than two is fans. Yeah,
because we're not just...
Thanks to our wives.
Yeah, very much so. And thanks to my imaginary girlfriend.
Oh.
Pamela.
Pamela Anderson.
And Rosie. I don't remember that one. This is Rosie. Rosie? What's your... Rosie Paulus. Sorry.
Oh, God.
We were so close to the end, guys.
We almost had this. We were right there.
So, fans, please comment.
Or else we're just going to keep on doing jokes.
We're going to be schoolyard jokes.
A whole episode of us laughing at ourselves. Wait, all our episodes are us. Mostly. Episodes of us laughing at ourselves.
True, man.
We have gotten better, though. Yeah. So
love to hear your feedback. Thank you so much for all your support.
Right. So, yeah. Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy the podcast. Hope we did. You enjoy as much as we did. Thank you.